Well, I don't have any games for you guys to play or anything like that, but I you know, that's there. However, I did hand out pens, and the pens are for the test at the end. So
I don't have a pen. Can I get out?
So anyways, usually I have all my notes kind of here with me, but this week's been a kind of a tough week, so they're all here. You know, usually they make it down to here on Monday night, and Tuesday I'm changing some things, and Wednesday I'm teaching, but hey, you know, the Lord's word is here, and that's all we need, right? But one of the reminders here in chapter 18 is that the continuation here of the fall of Babylon, right? Because last time we had talked about how chapter 14, verse 8 said, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she has made all nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then over in 16, it says, now the great city divided into three parts, and the cities of the fallen of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So in those two chapters, we kind of get the picture that this event has taken place. It's kind of like what we said before. It's like Genesis chapter 1 and then Genesis chapter 2 kind of is a carryover, in a sense that it kind of elaborates the detail of it. So that's kind of what we get here, you know, as we went through those chapters earlier. And we get here and we see in chapter 17, of course, we would recognize that speaks of Babylon as the center of religion, in a sense. All the religions, all the religions of the world start to come together. And we even see that today, some of the ecumenical stuff that's happened, you know, throughout the age, right? We see some of those things coming together. And so in 17, we kind of get that, you know, and it's under the oppression of the powers of the beast, you know, the Antichrist. But even the Antichrist, right? So the Antichrist comes in and, desecrates the temple that the Jews built. And by the way, the Jews have never been decreed by the Lord to build that temple, but they would go ahead. And certainly that would be a temple that was now going to be put in desolation. And we're going to see him take the power, even from a religious standpoint, because see, he doesn't even want the false religions of the day to, in a sense, to be there. He wants the recognition as who? As God, right? And isn't that always been the striving of the enemy? Satan himself, right? Right from Isaiah 14 there, where I will, right? I mean, he's definitely after the power of God. So, right to the end. But his time is short. You know, scriptures tell us his time is short. And so, so in a sense, it says there in the end of chapter 17 that the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, that false religious system, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And then it says there in 17, it says, for God has put it into the hearts to fulfill his purpose. Boy, God does it right to the very end. He we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be surprised by anything, because God isn't, right? And we know that he isn't staggered. You know, you see the fighters in the ring, maybe you saw some of the highlights. I didn't pay for the to view the fight, the heavyweight battle here lately, but You see the two guys go at it, and they staggered each other in the ring. God never gets staggered in the fight, you know. We have a great and awesome, powerful God. And even though it might look as if things aren't really in his favor, they are. Because it says here that God has put it into their hearts for his purpose. So even this. So here we have in chapter 18, we see now after the destruction, it says after these things, what's it talking about after these things? After these things would be the destruction of the harlot, the destruction of the religious system. Because now the beast is now upon the throne. There, and he's wanting the glory. So I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Some people think that it's the Lord Jesus here coming down. I don't get that sense. I think it's what it says there. It's just another angel, as you know, that another is of likeness. You know, it's not like this is like the other angels that were mentioned, right? We didn't classify them as Jesus. We're not classifying this one, or I'm not. You know, you guys can figure that out. And hey, maybe I'm wrong. You know, we get the glory. God says, hey, you know that angel? Chapter 18. That was me. You know, but that's how my stance is today anyways. This wasn't your water, was it, Steve?
Period.
Oh, okay. Well, as I said that, I was thinking about, I had, you know, a little bit of poison in the clear water, maybe still clear water, right? It's hard to trace, yeah, yeah. I had a boss that chewed, you know, and we'd go into his office and he'd put it in a Coke bottle and it looked just like Coke. Could you imagine taking man, I'm really thirsty and I don't say I chew, okay? I chew at my kids, but I don't chew tobacco. How's that? But anyways, getting back on topic here, it says that, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. So obviously, that illumination there is exposed, right? It's very bright, and we know light exposes. And he says, he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place, of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So, you know, no more in Babylon would you find this, right? And these, you know, this is, you know, and if we look at, actually, turn over to Isaiah chapter 13 is pretty interesting. Thirteen, verse 18. It says also there, and of course this is talking about, you might have a subtitle at your front of 13, says Proclamation Against Babylon. It says in verse 18, also their bows will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Now we see that even today, right? Their eyes will not spare children. In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So when Babylon goes, it's gonna go similar, right? He's gonna overthrow them just with his power there. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled for generation to generation, nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfold there. But wild beasts of the desert will lie there, and their horses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there. Wild goats will caper there. Hyenas will howl in their citadels. The jackals in their present place. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. So I just thought it was interesting in verse 21 where it was talking about the owls and the ostriches. And in chapter 18, it would say there becomes a dwelling place of demons, you know, a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So you see some of those prophecies in a sense being fulfilled there during that tribulation period. It says for all nations, so there wouldn't be, you know, here we see it, you know, the Babylon's exposed, it falls, it's falling, it's becoming a desolate place. And it says for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So the world is taking hold of this system. The rich is, you know, is benefiting from the economic system that Babylon would have. And it says in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. So this voice, if he's calling them his people, you know, it's God. God saying, come out, lest you share with her sin, and lest you receive of her plague. And I was reminded of, what is it, 2 Corinthians chapter 16. A lot of people think this is a verse about, you know, whether or not we should get married. This verse 14. Let me read some of this. It says, "Oh Corinthians, we have spoke openly to you, and our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections." It's amazing how our affections play a role in how we act, in a sense. It says, but in return for the same, I speak as to children. Remember, the Corinthian church were maybe mature in age, but not mature in their Christian walk. You all also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is where I think there's some application here for us, is that as we look at this revelation, you know, here, God is saying, come out of her, come out of Babylon, right? And I think even today, he says, come out of Babylon, right? And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, you know, not to be unequally yoked. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? That's why I don't think Christians can really fellowship with the unsaved. We can have friendships. We can have, you know, we can get along with them, right? We should get along with them. But something about fellowship is made for the believer. And, you know, fellowship has righteousness what does the fellowship have with righteousness, righteousness and lawlessness, you know? What communion has light with darkness? It doesn't, right? When the light comes in, the darkness is gone, right? Only when the light isn't there is the darkness there. And so for us, you know, I think there's a warning here even for us today, you know, that we should make sure that our business deals are considered here and being unequally yoked, or, you know, should we be in business with unbelievers? And, you know, they have different mindsets. I've counseled people, or they've asked for my counsel anyways. They didn't receive it, but they asked for it, you know. And, but, you know, that's the amazing thing, is that we have these affections, and these affections sometimes take over any good, biblical teaching that we might receive, right? From Scripture. Not from me, but from Scripture. And sometimes our affections override those things. And even though it seems like a great idea from the world standpoint, all of a sudden it's not, you know. But God here, you know, He's calling His people out of Babylon. Why is He calling them out of it? Because His people aren't subject to His wrath. And there's going to be wrath here that God pours out on Babylon. You know, these people, you know, that He's calling, who are they? Well, they're not us, I don't believe. I think they're probably, they could be part of the, you know, 144,000. They could be part of that multitude we saw in chapter 7, you know, and so forth. But they're believers, you know, they're His people, my people. He's calling them out. And just as He calls His people out at this time, I think today He calls out His people. Out of certain situations, out of bad relationships, out of, you know, trying to fulfill our own affections. He says, unless you receive of her plagues, unless you want to receive what she is, what's due her. For her sins have reached to heaven, meaning heaven knows about this. God is not, you know, in some sort of denial that His creation somehow is evil. He understands this, right? And He understands their sin. And it says, and God has remembered her iniquities. You know, I was reading this today, and I was thinking, this morning I was thinking, boy, God, I'm so glad that You don't remember our iniquities. His people, God doesn't remember, but those that aren't His, He remembers their iniquities, you know. And so I think that should give us some urgency. It should give us some heart for those that are lost. And boy, you know. But here's God's wrath poured out. Why? Because of her sin. Right? The only thing that really prohibits God from giving us judgment that is due us is because of His Son, right? Because He paid the price, and we believe we've entrusted our life in His hands. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and pay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorify herself and lived luxuriously. So here's another reason, you know, there's sin, and then there's this glorifying herself. You know, the city glorified itself. In the same measure given her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. I think that, you know, if you listen to enough of the news, you'll get the picture, but there's still people out there saying, oh, we're the United States. There's nothing that can happen to us. Almost like, you know, and they still call us, and they want to defend the superpower position that we've been for years and years. Well, we're losing that. The reality is we're losing what we once were as a superpower, You know, the reality is, but we still sit there and we call ourselves the queen, you know. But here's Babylon. She sat there and said, we're the queen. I am no widow. I'm never gonna lose, kind of thing. And will not see sorrow. You know, and it's just a pride in the economic system that they have. Like, you know, you've heard folks say that I'm a self-made man and that kind of thing. It's just a prideful thing, or just, you know, our economy is the best economy in the world, or something like that. We put a lot of hope, don't we, in our economy. I think if you looked at why people vote the way they do, economy's got to be right up there in the clouds, don't you think? Just very prideful. Therefore, her plague will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. One day, she's going to experience death, mourning, and famine. God's going to wipe her out, is the sense here. It says, and the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Oh no, what are we going to do? You know, I'm reminded of, you can't help but think, right? 9/11 here. You can't help but think about what people saw from the distance, what people saw in their living rooms as they watched those towers. You know, that was the financial world right there. That was just a hint of what's going to happen here. This is a whole city that's clogged full of commerce in this economic system that's just going to burn. You know, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." 1 hour. Doesn't take God long, does it? You know. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Very, you know, burnt merchandise, very unpopular. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls. You know, it gets into finances here. You know, all the riches of the day, the gold. You know, this is their livelihood. This is their money. Fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet, all these fashionable clothings made out of, all that is gone. Yep. Every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object, most precious wood, bronze, iron and marble, what was that all used for? Building their palaces, building their empires, idols, yeah. Building their idols, yeah. So God's going to wipe out all the money, all the fashions. I mean, Mariah would be heartbroken if she had to live through this. Poor Mariah. Hey, you know, that girl called me the other night, and we talked for what, hour and a half? Yeah, it felt like longer. I was so tired. She's a night owl, you know, about revelations. Hey, Dad, what about this? What about the rapture? What about the second coming? What about this? It was pretty cool. Anyways, and then it goes on in verse 30, you know, more judgment here. Cinnamon and incense, I mean, fragrant oils, all the perfume, the frankincense, all the, you know, all the wine and oil, fine flours, you know, no more biscuits for me. All the cattle and sheep, the horses and the chariots, you know, all the means of transportation. You know, I remember that day on 9/11, man, it was, you know, all the transportation systems were shut down, and not for just a day, you know, it was a long time. It seemed forever to me, but I actually worked with a guy that worked down there at that time, and he worked at UPS over in Jersey and could see everything that went on. Crazy. And it says here, and bodies and souls of men. Just possessing, you know, they possessed everybody. Souls of men. The fruit of that your soul longed for this has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. You shall find them no more at all. They're gone. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. They're afraid of the repercussions. And saying, Alias, Alias, that's that great city that was clothed with fine linen, purple and scarlet, right? There's something honorable here. The appearance looked so honorable, but it wasn't. Adorned with gold and precious stone and pearls. Well, God found out what they were. God knew, and God did judge them based upon really what they were, not what they wore, what they clothed themselves with. For 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads, a type of mourning there, and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, Alias, Alias, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour, she's made desolate. 1 hour, she's made desolate. When you think about some of the things that we could possibly get involved in, you know, the get rich schemes of today, and you think, boy, if we did this, we could get rich. Well, guess what? 1 hour, it was all gone. It means nothing to God. You know, it means nothing about how you dress. You know, he doesn't care about titles. He doesn't care if you're the CEO or the janitor. You know, he cares about our relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, right? I mean, that is what he cares about. And so, but for 1 hour, you know, it gives us a perspective here of what's important, doesn't it? What's important to God and what's really not important to God. You know, most of these things that were nullified and that were totally destroyed, right, were really items of pride. They were man-made things. They were man-controlled things. Right? They controlled the merchandise. They controlled the manufacturing. They controlled everything about the economy within this city. God says, I'm in control. He doesn't care. He doesn't care who you think you are, you know? He's God. Rejoice, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Nothing. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpetists, trumpeters, I guess, shall not be heard in any, should not be heard in you anymore. I wonder what the church would do today if we took away all the entertainment in the church. If God somehow in this world took away all the entertainment, half of these churches wouldn't survive, you know? You know, I think about, you know, some of the experiences I've had in my Christian walk and some of the ones that have taught me some things, whether I meant to learn them or not, right? About bad doctrine or whatever the case may be. But, you know, people can get hyped up by music. They can get really excited about things, you know. Worship through music is good for us. It leads us into, right? That's why we worship. We worship because it leads us into the Word, you know. And I think many times, you know, I don't tell the worship team, this is what I want you to. They ask me sometimes, what do you want? You know, I've had them ask me, hey, what do you want to hear? What do you want us to sing? I don't want to tell you. That's up to God and you. You know, you take it before the Lord and you pray on it and He'll lead you and to them songs. And I've seen it many and many times before, right? That's why we do the Psalms too, right? Because those Psalms, you know, I ask the guys, hey, pray and have the Lord give you that Psalm. I don't go, hey, I want you to do Psalm 119, Adam, this week. Right? the whole thing. Nothing but the whole thing. But, you know, it's you know, and music can do that, right? Can lead us into the Word and so forth, and I want the Holy Spirit to use that. But it can't be the thing that we come for. Right? This entertainment stuff that happens within the church is nonsense, mostly. It says, no craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. You can't make your own God anymore. Mm-hmm. You can't just sit there and have somebody carve you up some sort of golden calf and have your, that's gone. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. There's no manufacturing. There's no agriculture. You know, what do they use the millstone for? To make flour, right? Out of wheat. So there's none of that. You won't be having any fine bread there. So out of that fine flour. The light of the Lamb shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. You know, there's not going to be any light there. There's no God, you know, we heard earlier, you know, that God said, come out of her, my people. What does that mean? That means judgment comes. What does that mean? That means no more mercy. You know, no more grace. It's judgment, you know. That's tough. It's tough. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, that's pharmakia, is the word there, and it talks about pharmacy or pharmaceutical. You know, drugs, you know, the whole hallucinetics, you know, and all that stuff. all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth. So God will put an end to that economic system. Hey, the next chapters are a lot better. This is the next chapter is what we're looking forward to, you know. So we'll get there next week, huh? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your word, Lord. We ask you, Father, to just have your way with us, Lord. We are certainly in this world, even though we're in it, Lord. We're not of it, and we want to stay that way, Lord. We don't want to get all caught up in the materialistic sense in this thing. We want to have our heart focused, Lord, on you and your ways, Lord. So just have your way with us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.